I slept Monday and Tuesday, not sure what happened those days, but something. And then Riley Ann is in recovery and tired. Reese has had it, and Carmen's been delivered by the grace of God. But I know there's a lot that are sick today, and I know there are a lot that would be here if they were able. And it has nothing to do with the flu, just their bodies are not allowing them to be here with us this morning. But I'm thankful for the ability to stream this for those that could tune in and would like to. And our heart goes out to those who can't be here this morning that would otherwise. Anybody noticed anything new about the sanctuary this morning? Yes, a wonderful Christmas tree. And I'm glad that the ladies spent time yesterday putting it up. And then, of course, I hope you are enjoying the new displays as well. But anyway, I wanted to thank the ladies for yesterday, those that were able to come and spend time and getting us ready for the Advent celebration that comes in this season. So anyway, I'm glad you're here this morning. Thank you all for the comforting words that you've given me this week, and texts and things over the loss of Ma. But I know where she's at. And listen, I've not really shed any tears because I'm really sort of jealous as much as I am anything for what she's getting to see right now that our eyes only long to see. And thank you again for your support during this time. And my family's not alone, so continue to remember the others who are spending this holiday season with less than they had last year, maybe. All right, so today we're considering the second gift of the Advent. I came in this morning, I've gotten where I'm good at doing this to Matthew, and I just said, hey, can we do Peace Like a River? Not Peace Like a River. Wouldn't y'all love to do that today? It is well with my soul when peace like a river attendeth my way. Joy like an ocean. I came in and threw that on him because today, the second week of Advent, is peace. It's peace. Luke records a revelation of Christ's birth to the shepherds, concluding with a heavenly chorus of angels singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. This is a transcendent peace that cannot be shaken. When we think about peace on earth and goodwill toward men, I know some of our translations that are present this morning, if you are a King James fan, yours says, and goodwill toward men. There's peace toward mankind. Those who would particularly believe in him receive the transcendent peace. It's not a peace that can be taken away. And why do I mention it as a transcendent peace? We live in a world of absolute chaos. It's hard to understand how it can be peace on earth when you can turn on the news and everything that you will see is counter to what we would understand peace to be. And since we know God is not a liar and his word cannot return void or cannot lead us astray, we have to understand what peace is that he is talking about was ushered in by the birth of Christ as we approach this Advent season. There's battle and dispute everywhere, so how can we understand it? Furthermore, moreover, whatever word you want to put in there, as early as the creation narrative, we see that we, as God's crowning work of creation, with a temptation to become like God, rebelled against him and are by nature enemies of God. We're guilty of cosmic treason of the highest order. A king that had only good for his subjects. We rebelled against, rejected his good instruction, and chose a path for ourselves. And by doing so, we have become enemies of God. By nature, children of wrath. Even so, we ourselves are prone to wonder. Even now, it's the presence of sin, or the contamination of sin in this world in which we had lived. We, like sheep, have all gone astray. We were, and some of us in here may even still be, children of wrath. Yet there are plenty in the world that would claim peace, peace, when there is no peace. Our land is full of these false prophets, just as in the days of Ezekiel, where you could read these words, peace, peace, when there is no peace. From prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. This is a quote. From prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed an abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. Did they not know how to blush? In other words, be embarrassed about their transgressions? The answer is no. Therefore, they shall fall amongst the fallen. When I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. People, don't be mistaken. God does not take sin lightly. His word, all throughout the Old Testament, says that He is against the sinner. Pastor, we came to hear a message of peace. We'll get there. We'll get there. God is against the sinner. We read it as early as Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's all throughout Leviticus. It's in the reinstitution of the covenant with Joshua as he leads the people into the promised land. If you do all these things, it'll go well with you. But if you transgress my law, if you go and serve the other gods as the people of the land do, I will come against you. I'll strike you with plague and with sword, and the enemy will put you, will cause you to flee. God does not take rebellion lightly. He turns His face from it. In Psalm 11, verses 4 through 6, we read these words. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eye sees. His eyelids test the children of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but His soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let Him rain coals on the wicked. Fire and sulfur and scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. Father, those words even now strike. Oh. Great gravity. It reveals your soul toward wicked and evil. And while it's easy in church to think that's not talking about me, because I'm at church, or I'm a pretty good person, Scripture teaches counter to that. There's none righteous, no, not one. We, like sheep, have all gone astray. We have turned after idols. We have worshipped false gods. We have rebelled against Your word. And for all of those things, we deserve to die. Have mercy according to Your steadfast love. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So far, not a bright message. I don't want to be condemnable, as these prophets and priests of old were, for saying peace when there is no peace. Church, there is no peace for the unrighteous. There is no peace for the unrighteous. God has indignation every day against the wicked, Psalm 7. Anger, wrath, aggression, indignation, hatred. All these words are synonyms for how God views sinfulness and wickedness and disobedience and rebellion and treason of the highest order. In Nahum chapter 1, verses 2 through 6, the prophet records, "The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies." James would say to us today that if we are friends with the world, we're at enmity with God. If we are drawn away from God by the things of this world, Scripture says we are an enemy of God. Not me, I'm a Southern Baptist. Your heart is deceitfully wicked. Check it. Because Scripture is clear. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. His way is in the whirlwind and the storm. Another place in Scripture says, if you sow the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. Clear teaching, clear as can be. And the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither. The bloom of Lebanon withers. The mountains quake before him. The hills melt. The earth heaves before him. The world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken into pieces by him. Another place in Scripture says that the wicked will cry out to the rocks, "Cover us." Well, this Scripture just said that the rocks will melt away before him. There's nowhere to hide. God's righteous anger burns against wickedness and evil and sinfulness. How in the world is this a message of peace for Christmas? We're going to get there. You got to know who you are in the mirror of God's Word. It's funny, our Sunday school class lined up with that this morning. We're teaching James on Wednesday night. So much of God's instruction that is surrounding New Home right now is consider who you are compared to the holiness and the righteousness of God. And while we enjoy all of the blessings and the goodness of the things that New Home has to offer, the things that our county, our state, our country even have to offer, might cause us to think that God is asleep at the wheel and that his judgment has weakened and that he will not pour out his wrath against our sinfulness. And that's a lie. In Romans chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, Paul goes to great lengths to express his. He says, "Do you presume on the riches of his kindness and his forbearance," or his long-suffering, his endurance, his patience, "not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed." God is going to deal wrathfully, aggressively, and harshly with sin. He's not forgotten. He's not less God than he was in the days of Noah when he flooded the whole world. We talked about that some last week. Psalm 103:8-9, "The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love," period. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. It's a warning. And while we enjoy the gracious of God and the wonderful beneficent love of God, beneficent love of God, it does not mean that he will not deal with sin. Make no mistake. If you are in your sin, you are an enmity, or you are an enemy of God, the righteous judge, the faithful and true. How can we know peace when we're at war against a holy and righteous God? Answer: there is peace only in Christ Jesus. Only in Christ Jesus. Not of your works, not of anything that you have done. In Christ Jesus only is there peace. This is through imputed righteousness. You are made right before God. You are transitioned from enemy to friend in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is a great display of this imputed righteousness. For our sake, He, God, made Him, Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you hear the imputation? You are an absolute enemy of God in the flesh. You are warring against Him. You are a child of wrath by nature. You are contrary to everything that is good, right, and holy. In and of yourself, you are condemned to death by the hands of the mighty God. It's Scripture. Through and through. And yet God says, by His grace, He demonstrated His love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies of God, Christ Jesus died for us, that through Him we may be reconciled unto God. It's imputed righteousness because of Christ's holiness, righteousness, given to us as a gift through faith in Him. Believe in Him, and you shall not perish. Trust in Him. Hide in Him. Plead for mercy given by Him. This imparts two forms of peace. This is the beautiful message of the day. I painted the darkness of our rebellion against God, and now I want to take you to the beauty of the peace of God in Christ. Two forms. What is it? Peace with God. Peace with God. Scripture says, do not fear him who is able only to destroy your life, but to fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in a pit of hell. Fear God. Fear God. He is the righteous judge. He is the victor supreme. There is no enemy that is great enough to even stand before his indignation, as we've already read. No one can stand before God. There is not a battle of good and evil going on. Satan is no challenge. He can't even beat an angel who is submissive to the great God of glory. Martin Luther said he is God's devil. He can only do what God allows him to do, and with a word, according to the book of Revelation, he will be defeated. There is no battle that ensues. Oh, we saw great armies, but if you'll notice, he was cast out with a word. There's not an epic battle that we get to sit back as the army in the background and watch as Jesus and Satan exchange blows from some type of sword with sparks flying. No. Jesus opens his mouth and the battle is won. And if you're not on the right side of that, you lost. You have no peace outside of Christ. I don't care if you are a saint on this earth. If you are not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, you stand condemned already. Already, now, today, you're breathing in condemnation. You are storing up wrath for you on the day of wrath. No excuses. Peace with God. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How? Through Christ. Even greater still, church, let me tell you some even greater still news. We have more than just peace with God. We become children of God. Oh my, that's a whole new thing. Not only are we someone who over here that God says, I'm at peace with you. No, he goes beyond that. He goes, and I'm grafting you in to my family. I'm giving you a new name and a new righteousness. I'm covering you with the blood of my own son. Because sin has to be dealt with by the shedding of blood. Sin has to be dealt with by the judgment of death. But for you who believe in Christ, my son, I put him on the cross on your behalf. He experienced my wrath so that you don't have to. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished. You understand lavished? Lavish just poured it on so thick there ain't nowhere else to put the paint. It's filling the cup so full that it's running over. There's an old Michael Combs song about I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup is overflowed. Google it. It's good. It's country, but it's good. That's lavished. God's gone beyond just restoring you unto himself, making peace with you through Christ. He has lavished upon you the blood to cover all sin, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan before the plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Where do you get that? Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We've been adopted as children of God through Christ Jesus. We're brought into the house. We are more than conquerors, according to Romans 8, 37 through 39. He concludes, after all of these things, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We have peace with God. We are adopted as children of God. And then not only are we just kind of children hanging out in the house, no, we're conquerors. We have victory over sin and death through Jesus. Oh, it's the gift of Christmas. Don't miss it this year. You have been reconciled to God. You're at peace with him. And then greater even still, if it could get any better, he gives us his peace. We have the peace of God. Why? Because we're children. We're more than conquerors. We're co-heirs with Christ Jesus. We are the children of God, and so we are covered by his might, and it gives us peace in all situations. We have the peace of God. We're at peace with him. We have the peace of him. It surpasses all understanding. I was given witness this morning by two people that there's a young man, 12 years old, who has lost a leg to some type of severe cancer, even so that they put his foot in, and I'm not going to go into all of that, but been 12 years old. And in it all, he has given witness and testimony saying, glory to God. How does he have that peace at 12? My son's not 12. I couldn't imagine being the parent.
and watching their child suffer. I couldn't imagine looking them in the eyes and wishing you could do something that you just can't help. And then them telling you about the peace they have in God. That's a gift. That's a gift. I sit by many hospital beds, and you can tell the person that has the peace of God reigning in their heart and the one that is scared to death of what lies ahead. Have you ever been there? Yeah, you have. If you've lived long enough, you've sat by the bedside of a loved one, maybe even. And how are they? Oh, they're just resting. Ain't they hurting? No, I don't think so. Just resting. Why? Peace of God. They're not worried about when I die, I'm going to stand before God. They're not worried about what's going to happen after I die. They go, I'm right in Christ. I know where I'm heading. Glory be, let me go. Stop praying for me to stay here. I'm trying to leave, and you're holding on to my coattail. Turn loose. Why? Peace of God. Peace of God. Paul wrote it in Philippians. This is after a whole litany of things that he struggled with. He says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. In all of that. In all things. We can endure all things because we know God's peace. I'm sure that neither life nor death nor angels, I'm sure that neither life nor death nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor heights nor depths nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Knowing the love of God gives me the peace of God. There is nothing in my life that He won't use for my good and His glory. Anything I gain is lost compared to knowing Christ. Any sorrow I have leads only to joy because I know there's a day coming when it'll be no more. What a day that will be. Finally, our enemies are many, but our King is the Prince of Peace. We wrestle against evil and principalities and powers of the air, the forces at work, and the sons of disobedience. It's not necessarily flesh and blood, but my goodness, it's manifest in flesh and blood, isn't it? You can amen, it's okay. You can hang your head and know the battles that you've been in this week. Let me tell you, there are many enemies, but our King is the Prince of Peace. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. New home, for unto us a child is born, a son is given, and of his government there will be no end. Our King is the Prince of Peace. Morning, do you know the peace that is only in Christ Jesus? Have you experienced His life-giving blood? Have you come to the place where you have realized that you are at enmity with God and you cried out for mercy? Because as long as you keep fighting, you're still an enemy. Only way you win is throw your sword down and say, surrender. I surrender. And will you forgive me for ever having warred against you? And believe in what He says, that He will impute unto you the righteousness of Christ. From that day carry forward, you can know the peace that surpasses understanding. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your goodness, your might, your mercy, your grace, your peace. Even when we have enemies all around, our King, our Victor, is the Prince of Peace. I'm reminded of Gideon. As he came against the Midianites, they were many. So their camels were numbered like sand on the seashore. He dwindled them all the way down to only 300. Three companies of 100 men each. And you gave them the victory without them ever having to raise a sword. That's peace. It's peace knowing that our King has the authority over everything. All of creation. Things in heaven and things on earth. Things that have been and anything to come is powerless before the righteous King, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, as we approach the Advent season, or as we continue to approach the Advent of our Messiah, help us to rest in knowing that our God reigns. And this momentary affliction is nothing compared to what lies ahead. Help us to rest in knowing that the battle has been won. I thank you for your peace. I thank you for Jesus. It's in his name that I pray.